And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 in verse 41 through 47, and we're going to see what God's word has to say to your heart and mind today. A new community. And folks, listen to me. We are a community in God. We are the family of God. And anytime we get baptized, saved, join a part of the fellowship of the bride of Christ, you are a part of a family. You are a part of a new community, a community that stands strong and firm, founded on the word of God and the truth of God's word. And it's exciting to be a part of God's community, of the family of God. Amen? Excited to be a part of that. We'll be in Acts chapter 2 and looking at verse 41 through 47. Go with me to Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, God, we thank you as the song that they just sang, the Lord. Christ is risen from the dead. God, I thank you that I serve a Savior that is alive and well. One that is not dead, the Lord. You trampled over death. God, you rose victorious over grave. And God, I thank you that you are alive and well today. That we serve a risen Savior, the Lord. Thank you, the Lord, that we can live in victory today in knowing that our Savior lives, and because you live, you extend life to us, God. And God, that we can live a victorious life in whatever it is that we may face, whatever challenges that come our way, whatever battles may come along. God, if we face it in you and send you before us, we can have victory in Jesus. And God, I pray today that we have victory in each and every one of us, the Lord. Have victory in Jesus, victory in our hearts, God, that as we open up your word, God, you will bless the anointing. You will anoint your word. You bless the reading of your word. Anoint it, God, that it'll go forward, that it accomplish your will and your way in each and every one of our lives today, that your will and way will be done, the Lord, Father, you're desirous, and what you're desirous of us to do, the Lord, that we will respond and do it because there's victory in Jesus. God, we pray today you defeat the devil, bind him up, the Lord, any opposition, and God, get rid of it, the Lord, and let there be a presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Give us freedom, the Lord, as we've already worshiped you. Continue to give us freedom as we stand and proclaim your word today. And God, may your word, may it cut where it needs to cut, may it pierce where it needs to pierce. God, may we be different than what we come in here as. May we be refreshed, renewed, and revived, the Lord, as we leave this place, that we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God, we thank you for what you're doing. And God, again, we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 41 through 47, it says this. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And we experienced that today with Allison and Mackenzie and Isabel. They received God's word. They were baptized in the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of the bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had a need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know, I thank God that we can come into this house. I thank God that we can be a part and have a place that we can come to and worship with brothers and sisters that have the like mind, that are like-minded, that come here and to be revived, refreshed, and renewed. Where else, friends, can you go? You've been in the world all week long, and wherever you work, and you tend to be beat down. You tend to be in a battle, and the battles rage, and you tend to get in altercations and things of that nature, just the nature of the beast of your job or where you may be. But my friends, let me tell you something. When you come to the house of the Lord, it ought to be a time of renewal, a time of reviving, a time to be refreshed and renewed and be energized and excited about what God is going to do. It's a refueling time, a time to come up. You know, I was sitting in the office this morning, and I was listening to the Sunday school lesson with the E4 Outdoors men, and I was listening to what they were saying, and it was tying right along with the message. And so from the office, I started shouting and hooting and hollering and saying amen. And they say, shut the door, you ain't supposed to be listening to us, you're supposed to be studying. I said, man, you're giving me nuggets. And so they were tying in to the things that we were talking about, being in the body of Christ, exalting one another is what they were talking about, praying for one another, having camaraderie, and lifting up the body of Christ and believing believers. And it's all about Jesus, as they were sitting there saying, it's not about an individual person. It's not about me, as Steve was sharing with them. And Mark was chipping in, and Brother Mark was chipping in. It's about everything we do should be about the Lord. Should be focused on Him, focused on Jesus, not about us. It's all about Him and what the Lord can do, and focusing on that. And I was sitting there reading that. I said, get them. I think Brother Mark was saying something. I said, get them. I'll let you preach this morning. And it was good stuff. It was a good time of discussion. But we understand that the picture we see here in Acts, we see that it's a wonderful community. It's a community, and it gives us a point of what church can be and what church should be like. And we should take frequent glances and go back to the early church and look at it and look at God's Word and look how they treated one another and look how they responded to those that were in the world, and look that when they were focused on God and they were centered on Him, and things of that nature, God began to bless, and God did something great and mighty amongst them. Souls were being saved. Folks were being added to the church. God was doing a wonderful, miraculous miracles. Thank the Lord for Serena being back. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is blessing and doing some great and mighty things. God was blessing and doing great and mighty things, you know. And now the healing can come about and God can begin to do some work. But when you come to church and things of that nature, you come and you are excited about what the Lord is doing. And Jamin's excited about pulling all my hair out of my face and out my hair. But we should be excited about what God is doing. And we see this part in the early church. And we should go back and glance at it and look at it. If you take notes, number one, the church had a healthy inward posture. A healthy inward posture. Upon receiving baptism, these 3,000 new believers immediately began to be devoted and devoting themselves to the Word of God. Devoting themselves to one another. Devoting themselves to what God wanted to do in their life. They were new people in Christ. The gospel radically transformed how they viewed their possessions, their time, and their identity. They were new people in Christ in verse 41. And the first part of that, it says, and then they that gladly received the word were baptized. They were new Christians. They were new folks in Christ. And when Christ gets a hold of your heart and He changes your life, He gives you a new perspective. He gives you a new desire and a new direction that He wants you to go in life. He changes who you are. He gives you a new identity. As I told the girls today when we were baptizing them, I told them that, you know, the baptism is not your salvation. Your salvation is your relationship with the Lord. And I used Mr. Ted and Miss Bonnie as being married. I said, you know, Mr. Ted married way over his head with Miss Bonnie. But anyhow, that's another scripture. But they were sitting there and they were in the back. And I was talking about it. I said, you know what? I draw a conclusion on the wedding ring. I said, Mr. Ted has a wedding ring on, and so does Miss Bonnie. But I said, that wedding ring is not their marriage. Their marriage is their relationship with one another. But that ring is symbolic. It says Ted spoken for and Bonnie spoken for. I said the same thing. When you get saved with the Lord, your salvation is your relationship with Jesus. Your baptism is saying you are identifying yourself with Christ. You're identifying with Him. When we talked about that, you know, when we get saved and stuff, we ought to desire to have a relationship with the Lord, a desire to have a relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, a desire to be a part of the family of God and what God is doing. There ought to be a desire in us to have a desire to read God's Word. And that's when I started saying amen in the Sunday school class at E4's, the outdoors this morning. They were talking about there ought to be a desire to be in God's house, a desire to be in God's Word, a desire to have a prayer life to Him because of what God has done in our life. We are to be desirous to want to have that relationship with Him, desirous to be a part of that. And we see in these verses, they were gladly received the Word. They were baptized. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. It says, therefore, if any man be what? In Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? New. Not only that, but they had a new devotion in their life. A new devotion to what God was doing. And we see that back in verse 42 in the first part of that. It said, and they what? Continued steadfastly in what? the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They had a new devotion, my friend. When they got saved, God gave them a desire. They had a new devotion to serve God, to be in the center of His will, to come together, breaking bread with one another, fellowshipping with one another from house to house. They were witnessing. They were going about doing God's business. They had all things common, and they came together as a family of God, as what God's family should do. And they come together. And it was about the Lord. God changed them, gave them a new direction, and He put them into a new community, and it's called the family of God. They were serving a new community called the family of God. It's wonderful to be a part of the family of God and what God does in our life. They had that new family. Verse 44 through 46 goes on to say again, and all that believed were together, and they had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had a need. And they continued daily with what? One accord in the temple, in the house of God, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Their compassion, their humility, their joy, their mercy, their devotion could only be attributed to the power of the Holy Spirit of God that was living in their life. The power of God that transformed their life, gave them something to be excited about, something to be energized about, something to be renewed about, can only come from the Lord, can only come from what God was doing in their life. Not only that, my friend, but there was a healthy inward posture, as I said. God intended His people to look to one another for encouragement in the gospel, and that is exactly what the men this morning were talking about in E4 Outdoors, looking to one another for encouragement, being there with one another. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17 says it this way. In Colossians 3, 16 and 17, it says, let the what? Word of Christ do what? Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In what? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in what? The name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And talking about, you know, they were talking about everything they do, exhorting one another, teaching one another, admonishing one another, lifting one another up. Do it all in the name of the Lord. Do it all for Jesus. Do it all for Him. And coming together to be a part of that family and what God is doing. Not only that, but then when I heard them start talking about exhortation and building up one another and exalting one another, you know, and I thought about that relationship, and I thought about that's what God desires in your heart and my heart and our life. He desires you and me to build Him up, my friends. He said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. My friend, we need to lift up the Lord. We need to lift up Christ. We need to lift Him up, edify Him, exalt Him. And it's Him that is lifted up. And when we lift Him up, then God does some great and mighty things. Then God draws people into Him. And it says, and let the Spirit of God draw man. They can't come unto the Father. But when He is lifted up and His name is lifted up and God is glorified in everything we say and do, then God begins to pour out them blessings upon you and me and pour out the blessings upon the church, and we begin to reap the harvest because of God's hand and mercy and grace upon you and upon me and upon the church of God. And that's what Mark was talking about today. When you get up out of your bed, he was talking about, man, we need, before our feet hit the floor, we need to be praying. We need to ask God to send people across our path. God, send me somebody today that I can witness to. Send me somebody today that I can minister to. Started in that prayer, having that prayer with one another. God, you know me. God, I need your help today. Take my body, my mind, my mouth, bring it under total submission and subjection to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And pray that every day, because I'm telling you, if you don't, the devil will send somebody across your path to rob you of your joy. Send somebody across your path, my friend, that would get you sideways and twist it up and turn you around. But my friend, you needed to stay strong in the Lord. Devil put that thing there like a noose trying to trip me. Stay strong in the Lord and be strong in Him is what we need to do. He goes on to say in Hebrews 3:12 and 13, it says this. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be what? In any. Did you get that? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But what does verse 13 say? But exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, the selflessness, bearing the burdens of others. Talking about bearing the burdens of others, exhorting one another, building one another up. Galatians 6:2 says this. In Galatians 6:2 it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, bring them to one another. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfilling the law of Christ, bringing that together. Not only should the church have a healthy inward posture, but number two, if you're taking notes, the church should have a healthy upward posture. This new community experienced God deeply. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and teaching back in verse 42. When you look back there, it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowshipping and breaking bread and prayers. They devoted themselves, my friends, to that. And it is amazing when churches come together and they take this aspect on and they get in God's word and they study the doctrine of God's word. They have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. They begin to break bread, and Baptists like to eat, and they begin to break bread. And not only that, but they begin to pray for one another. Amen. Somebody got the message. Thank you, Mark, for listening. And they begin to break bread and fellowship with one another. It don't get no better than that. You're living out these qualities, and God begins to bless in those arenas. And my friend, and then you go on to see in the story that he is talking about how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament story of Israel. And through his life and his death and his resurrection, Luke 24:27 says this. And Luke 24:27 says, in the beginning, at Moses and all the prophets, he what? He expounded unto them in all the scripture of all things concerning himself. They also experienced awe and wonders at God's work in the world. In verse 43, it said, and fear came upon every soul, and many what? Wonders and signs, amen, were done by the apostles. They experienced God's mighty hand, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, which led to frequent worship and celebration in the temple. And my friend, verse 47 said, and they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh, listen to me. God began to deal. God began to bless, you know, and things of that nature. And I was hearing Mark as he was interjecting this morning in the message too, talking about, man, we have got to take a stand on God's word. We have got to get in God's word. We've got to understand what God's word is saying to us and how to apply it. And I heard several of the men talking about, how do you live in a world? And I think Steve asked that question. How do you live in a world that is full of sin and yet remain faithful and take a stand for the Lord? How do you live in that kind of world? What do you do? And each one of the men began to say, man, as when Mark, you got to get in God's word. You got to study it. You've got to read it. You got to pray and wake up every morning with prayer, a prayer on your heart and mind. Get in there and get rooted down, my friends, so that you know. Listen to me. There might be coming a day, my friend, when they just wipe the Bible totally out of here. And the only thing that you will be left in our heart and mind. We need to read it, study it, and apply it so that when that day comes, they can have it all they want to, but they can't take it out of here. And they can't take it out of here. They might take it out of my hand, but they can't take it out of my heart and mind. Amen? They're still going to get the word of God. And it'll do you good to study. And I know Mark put in a plug for me. He says, y'all don't know what you miss on Sunday night and Wednesday. He says, y'all got to come back. Why? He said, because the preacher slows down to about 5 miles an hour instead of 100. He said, and then he teaches words, God's word, and teaches on it, and expounds on that on Sunday night and Wednesday. He flies like a bullet on Sunday morning, but come back on Sunday night, and you get the teaching. You get the part where it's slowed down. Disengage and dive in God's word and dissect it and teach it. And I know it's what Brother Mark likes to do all the time. He talks about apologetics, being a defender of the faith. Folks, Romans is apologetics. It's Paul defending the faith. The book of the Bible is apologetics. It's all written through there. that Jesus is the one that we're talking about. Jesus is the one, and we're backing up what the Word tells us. And that's what we do when we study it, and we get into it, and we apply it. Oh, listen to me, not only that, but they begin to grow, and they begin to have Bible studies, and they begin to go from house to house and breaking bread. And Peter says they were as newborn babes, the desiring to send sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow by thereby. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says that, and many interpret Peter as saying something, as I said, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby. Just as it takes, my friend, when a baby is born, you don't feed it a steak. Amen. Not right off the bat. You got to get that baby some form or fashion of some kind of milk to grow by. And that's what Peter was talking about, you know, in the Word, getting in the Word and growing thereby, you know, and understanding it. And it could be saying, you know, Peter was saying, long for the Word of God in the way infants long for the milk. Amen. Long for the Word of God the way infants and babies long for milk. Do we have a longing for God's Word? Folks, we need to long for Jesus and His Word. And another way it can say is crave Jesus the way an infant craves and needs milk. Amen. Craving Jesus, longing for God's Word the way an infant craves or needs milk, and praying for that, that God will help us. In verse 3, he went on to say, indeed, you have tasted the Lord that is gracious and good. If so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious. My friend, anybody that has tasted the Lord, I can tell you, God ain't never done me nothing but good. God ain't never done me nothing but good. God is good, my friend. Get it, taste it, try it out. I'm telling you, it's not like some cheap perfume to take back to the store. It'll last you for all eternity if you try him out. Amen. It'll last you. It'll last you if you try him out. Oh, not only that, but number 3, if you take notes, the church had a healthy outward posture. This new community of believers, this new family of God, not only moved towards God and each other, my friend, they move towards the world. Look at verse 47. Verse 47 comes back and says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved and added. My friend, they went out and they shared what God was doing. They went out and they had fellowship with one another. They went out breaking bread. They went from house to house, my friend, doing what God commanded them to do. Peter's sermon on Pentecost, they were preceded the story of what the church expansion throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other ends of the earth were. If you go back to Acts 1:8, it goes and says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive that power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. We should carry out the will of God and the work of God and spread it around. And this is what they were doing when they were looking at verse 47. It says they had favor in everyone, and God added to their number daily. God saves people to send them out and to engage with non-Christians, my friend, to engage with them, to share with them that there's hope in God's Word, that it doesn't matter what they've done in life. It doesn't matter how they've lived. It doesn't matter the name that they used to have in the community. It doesn't matter. Jesus came and he died for every soul if they would accept him, my friend. It don't matter. There's forgiveness at the cross. Amen. There's forgiveness at the cross. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter, and I can care less for what you've done. It don't matter. What matters to me is, where do you stand with God? Where do you stand with Jesus? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior? That's what matters. God's looking down from heaven. He's not looking down to see if you're a Catholic, if you're a Baptist, if you're Pentecostal, if you're none of that. You can be religious all you want to and die and go to hell. Religion ain't going to get you there. It's by the blood of Jesus that's going to get you there. Oh, listen to me. Aren't you glad that it's a family of God? Aren't you glad there's no religion there? Because I'm afraid a lot of religious sends people to hell. I'm glad it's not about religion. I'm glad it's about a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the only way to get there. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. He is the only way. Oh, listen, they begin to celebrate. Tim Chester says this, that we eat some 21 meals a week. Having one with a non-believer should be a priority for us. Whatever we do, we must strive to help others to know the Savior as we do. Know the Savior as we do. Do you think the non-Christians that are out there, not in church, not having nothing to do with the Lord, that are eating with one another, are talking about Jesus? No. But we can join the mix of them, amen? We can join them and say, slide over. Slide over. We can join them, take a meal with them. And say, you know, while you're sitting there eating, say, hey, before we eat, how about we say the grace over this meal?
Amen.
And you say the grace over that meal, and you begin to eat what they've already heard Jesus once right there. And I already heard you thanking him. But join them, save them, listen to me. They're looking for a relationship with one another. You know, I say this all the time. People don't care about how much you know until they know about how much you care. Show them you love them.
Right.
Show them you love them. Be a part of their life and that you want to be a part of what they're doing. Show them that, my friend, that you can have all the best answers in the world and all the education you want to have. But, my friend, people want to know you're real. People want to know you're real. People want to know that you love them in Jesus and that you love them in the Lord. Amen. The early church, my friends, sure it was flawed, but it's a wonderful model for us to be modeled after. It's a wonderful model for you and me to be modeled after. The way it emulated these postures is a challenge for all churches today. If all churches today would just go back and look at Acts chapter 2, go back and read it, and go back and dissect it, and go back and understand it, my friend, God will have a tremendous impact on people's lives. God will have a tremendous impact on the pulpits today. God will have tremendous impact on pastors today that can preach to God's word with power and authority, my friends. Oh, listen to me. There's no other community like the community of God. There's no other, my friend, that I want to be a part of other than what God has in store, my friends. And it's a new community, a community in Christ, a community in them. And my friends, when they got saved and God began to add to the church, daily it says, they became the family of God that God intended for them to be. They became what God wanted them to be. When you look in Acts chapter 2 and you read that, my friend, they had fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. They were breaking bread with one another. They were fellowshipping one another. They were going from house to house with one another. They were there loving one another. They were praying for one another. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and teaching of the word. My friend, and that's what we're desirous to do. That's what I heard in the Sunday school class today, talking about God's word, having a desire, a longing for Jesus, a desire for the Lord, a longing for him, desirous of what God is doing and desires to read his word and apply it to our life. Desirous, my friends, to live a life for Christ. Desirous. Listen, if Jesus has been Lord of your life, I pray that if you don't have a desire to serve him, I pray that if you don't have a desire to love one another, I pray if you don't have a desire to get in God's word and open it up and read it, that you don't have a desire to pray and acknowledge him as Father, that you don't have a desire to come and attend and worship the Lord, I pray today that God gives you that desire. God gives you that desire. And in that desire, my friends, he'll transform your life. Not only will he transform your life, he'll transform the life of the church, my friend. When we're desirous to do God's work, when we're desirous to do God's will, when we're desirous to do what God will have us to do, my friends, then things run and operate smoothly. Then things run, my friend, the way God intends them to do. Oh, listen to me. You might be here this morning and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Won't you come today? Won't you come today? Oh, Scripture says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you call upon him today and accept him? Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. I don't know. I'd love to be a pastor. The family of God here would love to be your family. Oh, listen, maybe God spoke to your heart about praying about something. You want me to pray with you, or you want to get that dollar and pray? Do business with God today. Do business with Him today. Open up your heart and be obedient to what God wants you to do. As we sing, you stand and come as God leads and lays upon your heart.